Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
To Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. Today, we have Anissa Rogers, activist and organiser in the Degrowth Network Australia. And Anissa has been working on environment and climate change issues for almost a decade. They are particularly interested in how we can actually get to the world we need in order to avoid climate change and ecological destruction, and also about how to help people work together to get there. So, and just, I won't give you a big discussion of degrowth as an introduction. I'll just tell you that it's a critique of the global capitalist system, which pursues economic growth at all costs, causing human exploitation and environmental destruction. So that's a given. And it's advocating a shift in values towards care, solidarity and autonomy. Degrowth means transforming societies to ensure environmental justice and a good life for all within planetary boundaries. So very much aligned with the ideas of this show. But before we get into all that, Anissa, would you please tell us about the event that you've got on tomorrow as part of Permaculture Week?
Yes. So this is our third Degrowth Festival that we've held. We're trying to make degrowth cool and fun and, you know, a concept that's more widely known. So we thought, why not run a festival? The world we're trying to build, you know, past a growth-centered, profit-driven, it needs to be joyful. It needs to have connection. It needs to have fun. And so there will be dancing. There will be music. It'll be a picnic. It's out in a park in Carlton North, in Curtin Square, so under some beautiful fig trees that will be shading us for the day, which is great. And we've got almost 50 different groups coming along to have stalls. So these are different groups. We've put them into categories. There's groups doing local food, local housing. There's climate, ecological, social justice activist groups. We've got a bunch of groups on international solidarity. There's quite a few talking about the big system change and vision for, you know, the world. And then our last section is on convivial technology. So that's technology that brings us closer to each other and to the earth. So almost 50 stalls. So that'll have a festive atmosphere. You know, people can come and learn more about what those groups are doing and how it fits into the degrowth kind of vision and project. And then we've also got 18 workshops on in the afternoon. So a lot of those groups wanted a little slot to kind of sit down in a circle on the grass and, you know, have more of a conversation about what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then finishing it all off with a bush dance.
Yep. And I was there for the first one that you had at Ceres, and that bush dance was really joyful. And it's got that, I had that thing where you get the old people swinging around the little kids and all that. And that's just priceless.
Oh, it's, I mean, that is probably one of the most convivial technologies, a bush dance. Because you think about a community and, in a degrowth future, we'll need to be sharing a lot more. And that, can be hard on relationships. People need to be closer to one another. So people will fight and be annoyed and maybe won't talk to each other. But then you imagine the community bush dance once a week or once a month. And that person that's been pissing you off, you swing them around your arm and have a good laugh. And it's a good kind of humanizing, bring people together. So that's what I love about it.
And hopefully, I mean, my vision for this would be that there'd also be some really good conflict resolution things in place. So we won't go back to some kind of peasantry where we all just have a feud that goes on for six generations or arm ourselves or something. It'd be really good if we had a more evolved way of talking to each other too.
Yes, definitely. And that's one of the groups that's come out of the Degrowth Network and that I'm part of. We run workshops on good conflict in community to try and help people have those skills. So when we inevitably get annoyed at each other, we can communicate, rather than form our little tribes and
Which is that's what happens now, isn't it? That's politics.
Yes, yeah, the polarization is very worrying.
So you gave us a bit of a sense of the scope of degrowth thinking. So, and I noticed just by looking into it a little bit more today, it's got quite a strong academic presence and then a activist sort of presence. And I noticed that you were in contact with Megan Patrick from Daylesford, and so it seems to be a bit linked in with permaculture. How do you understand it as a movement? Because it's very young as well, isn't it?
It is. Well, I think degrowth was first brought up in French in, décroissance, I think, in the 70s. But it's only, the last couple of decades that it's got more, well, a bit more mainstream in Europe, not quite mainstream. And then, only really in the last 5 years in Australia have we tried to build a movement about it. There's always been some academics, which are, really important. But academics aren't so good at being on the ground and, doing the work that needs to be done. So it's quite a new movement in Australia. And to me, the way, like, I feel like it fits in really well with everything that's kind of already happening. Like, it's not trying to be we're the new kid on the block and we've got all the answers. It's like what we're trying to do with the festival and the network is bring people together who are doing, they're focusing on their specific, food or housing or, protesting or blockading, and try and say we're all part of this bigger project that is critiquing growth and that is moving towards a, more sharing, redistributed, kind of different sort of localized economy. And especially with permaculture in Australia is probably, the place where this has most existed. Like, permaculture has been huge in Australia for decades and, gone all over the world. So, it's a huge part of, I'd say, permaculture is a huge part of degrowth. And I think degrowth is a huge part of permaculture as well.
And as you say, it does come out of the 70s. And I went to uni in 79, and Ivan Illich was writing Tools for Conviviality and Deschooling Society, and he was really advocating that stuff. And he was coming sort of up between the sort of left and the right. He wasn't a socialist, and he wasn't a capitalist that said this is the way it just has to be. He didn't want to smash the system all at once, I don't think. But he came up in the middle of it, and I was just thinking then that it's taken a long time for that to percolate down into a movement. But I wonder if it's because the time is right now for that. We need that now. He knew we were going to need it because we knew in the 70s that there was a problem ecologically.
I think it's really true, and I wonder if it's, now we're really hitting up against those limits to growth. Like in the 70s, there was still a bit of room to move, even though there were really intelligent people who could see what was coming, as we consume more and, more population, and there's just more. But now, and it's really interesting timing, with this horrible war going on in the Middle East, and how, people have been talking about oil prices going up for a long time, and it's often, the market overcomes another barrier to be able to keep the cheap happening. And it'll be interesting to see if the market can overcome this barrier, or the businesses and the governments in tandem. But for the moment, people are seeing petrol at $2.50 and how that's going to ricochet through. And so, these movements who are kind of like degrowth and permaculture that are percolating will hopefully become more mainstream, because people will think, well, yeah, we do need to have more local things. We do need to have less. And I guess we're trying to remind them you can do that in a joyful way. Like, it will be difficult. We're not trying to pretend this is easy, streamless, frictionless community. Community is hard, but it's worth it.
And there's a craving for it, I think, in
Well,
society.
yes. Yeah, I wonder if in the 70s they were predicting how lonely and isolated and anxious and depressed people would be, because, I guess you can't predict the technology, but it's just incredible how sad and prevalent that is in a country like Australia.
Absolutely. Which is a capitalist dream, isn't it? Extract all the stuff out of the earth, sell it, and just get really, really rich, and yet
Well, and
people.
then isolate people so we're not relying on each other for our needs. We're going to the market. We buy everything. You can get anything ordered to your house within half an hour these days. So, if people don't need people as much, but yeah, that's got to change.
So, do you have a sense of the political strategy that's going to have to take on capitalism, basically? Or are you imagining it's more just a matter of skilling up for whenever what happens happens and we need to have the skills? Is it more like that?
I see it as both. And especially within degrowth, one of the good things is there's not like a set line that everyone follows. There's different schools. And so there's definitely the school that, thinks about, if we could get more democratic control over governments, what are the different policies that we could put into place, like, universal basic income and all these sorts of stuff. So there's definitely that. And I think, some people should be working towards that. That there definitely is some promise, but I'm not one to think that politicians will listen to the people, not while they've got the mining companies in their ear. So I think a big part of the degrowth movement sees it as, well, we need to build these alternatives and we need to show people that they're possible, because left wing and anti-capitalist thought has taken a huge hit since the real communism, or communism in quotes, were huge authoritarian failures in a lot of ways. And so it's kind of our responsibility to show a different option, show how communities can be more directly democratic, show how we can build these more ecologically friendly alternatives. And so I guess for me, the hope is that we can build enough social, community, and political power to avoid the worst of the crises. But if we don't, then the work that we're doing in degrowth is perfect for if and when the crises happen. So I kind of feel like you've got a foot in both camps.
Problem is, it's hard to predict what the crisis will look like and, what all the complexity of it might be.
Australia's energy market is broken.
Right, but co-power gives you better energy?
Nope, no retailer can control where the electrons they buy off the grid come from. But as a co-power member, you can vote on where 100% of revenue goes. So instead of corporate profit, your energy bill builds the world you want to be a part of.
That's cool.
Learn more about the solidarity economy and co-power today and take the power back.
Victorian Energy fact sheets and basic plan information documents are available at cooperativepower.org.au. For clear advice on the right plan for you, contact us on 03 9068 6036.
A 3CR supporter.
And this is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with Anissa Rogers, organiser and activist who is part of the Degrowth movement and one of the organisers of the Degrowth Festival, which is taking place in half an hour at Curtin Square, Rathdown. Is that near Rathdown Street in
Yes.
Carlton? So, can you give us any ideas of how we might work together to sort of get there? I mean, I know you've got the festival, that's one thing. You're on this program, it's another, but
I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about, yeah, what are the skills that we need to have to work together? And I'm really passionate about how to help groups and individuals actually do that well. Like I've spent, about a decade doing organizing, and a lot of it's really reactive and emotional. And that makes a lot of sense. People often are living their life and then they see some huge injustice and they just want to do something. And it's all about action and reaction. But I think we really need to invest more time in ourselves and our groups. How do we run effective meetings? How do we do decision making in a way that's effective and, includes everybody meaningfully? What do we do when the conflicts happen? Me and a friend, we're gonna run a workshop in a couple of weeks about practicing disagreeing. So
Oh,
when you
okay.
find someone that you disagree with, yeah, you know, has the social media age has kind of left people, people get kind of brownie points for the outrage and the condemning and the canceling, and I think that there's a little bit of room for that, but I think most of the time, yeah, we need to be, what's the common ground? How are we critiquing each other's ideas in that we're critiquing the idea and not the person? So to me, that's a lot of, yeah, I guess soft skills, sometimes people call them,
Yep.
or group skills, that I think need a lot more attention. And because people are so often focused on the action. And so I'm like, if we can understand that the action and the output is only half the work. The other half of the work is how do we actually stay together and learn together for the long haul, and not just have another group that exists for 2 years and then burns out, breaks apart.
Yep. And what do you think? You must have lots of models for how to run a good meeting, or.
Yes, yeah. We're also running some facilitation trainings, and so yeah, lots of, agendas that you can use and different kind of skills for facilitating both as the person kind of holding the meeting and also all of us as individuals, and different decision making models, consensus and the sociocracy and
Yep.
yeah, there's lots of yeah, there's quite a few people that have done some really good thinking out there, and then it's just up to us to try it and keep practicing and help each
Yeah.
other get better.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fantastic that the internet's got all that stuff on it. So, yeah, there is potential for good there for taking all that work that's already been done and accessing it
Yeah,
really quickly.
definitely. Though the internet is often an overwhelming place, so we try to make sure that there's in-person spaces as well to unpack that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I mean, to get just to grab idea, grab a model of how to run a meeting or how
Oh,
to
yes.
organize something or other, or how to resolve a conflict. That's all that information's there.
Oh,
The work's
yeah.
been done in all different fields in psychology and diplomacy and
Yeah, we
all
are
the rest of
so,
it.
so l lucky to have so much access to all this information.
Now, I understand from my limited research that I've done that you personally live on a modest income.
Yeah.
And try to apply the principles of degrowth in your own life. So that's a kind of praxis, isn't it? It's individual sort of action. How are you thinking about yourself? I mean, as someone your age and your generation and everything, about how it's
That's a
all
good
going.
question. I mean, for me, a lot of it where it comes from, especially when I finished uni and people off are going off and getting jobs. I think I was really lucky to be surrounded by people that reminded me there's another option. You don't need to go and get a full-time job and a mortgage, and so I see it as a lot as, my security rests in my community. I'm currently trying to build a housing co-op with some people to see if we can have, secure housing, but sharing a lot to bring the costs down. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm also really lucky, I've got parents that will support me if I need. So, I don't need to rely, just on myself and my bank balance. But to me, yeah, part of it is the kind of practice, and it brings me joy to be able to, shop locally, go to the farmers market and ride my bike everywhere, and feel a little bit less caught up in the global supply chains. But I think what I think about it more in terms of how can we as a community help each other find time to do the work that we most need to do. So, try to move away, we want to kind of avoid that, individual consumption or judgment, or, I'm doing it better than you because I use less plastic or any of that. Like, we want to avoid that and, make sure that we have a good understanding of different class backgrounds and who's got, like that's really, that took me a while to learn as a middle class kid that, I can do these things a lot more easier because of my class background. And so to see it as a kind of community sufficiency model. And so then we can help other people, who might be caught in the full-time job mortgage game to be like, there are other options, and they will give you more time for yourself and your joys, as well as more time for the important work that needs to be done and is very unlikely to be paid.
And that reliance on parents, that's just a bit like the internet. It's just a historical accident in a way, or an inevitable consequence of capitalism or whatever. But it's that's this is what we're in, and that's fine. That's just because generation whatever back a century ago didn't they had to go down the mine or be going to law or something, doesn't mean that that's how we have to do it now.
Definitely. Well, and a lot of it is, being able to get the skills to be comfortable in yourself and so be okay. I think when I first got involved in activism, I spent a lot of time feeling guilty for, being Anglo-Australian and, being a settler colonizer and, and I think, that's a understandable and sometimes important reaction when you realize the kind of privilege that you have. And then you need to be, okay, that's what I've got. What am I going to do with it? I don't need to feel bad for what I've been given, but it's my responsibility to do the best I can while also making sure that I'm okay. There's no point in martyring ourselves, for the cause. That doesn't help in the long run.
So you see that activism and trying to live a sort of a right lifestyle is the way of dealing with the guilt.
I think that definitely helps. And I also think when we learn from different movements that have, brought in lots of people and kind of been powerful, a lot of it is this kind of voluntary simplicity and huge motivations to give and community sufficiency. And so, yeah, people choosing to have less, access to money and kind of shiny car and big house, because we're building it together. And yeah, I think we're going to have to share a lot more in the future. So I'm getting my practice in now.
I think Meg Ullman said that too. I interviewed her a few weeks ago or a month or two ago. Could you tell me what you did out at their place in Daylesford?
So I was one of their SWAPs, which I can't remember what that stands for, but n knowing them, it's some great acronym. But I got to go live out there for a week in one of the little tiny houses out the back with the other couple of volunteers. And I mean, it was especially harvest time. So it's just every day you kind of wake up, have a good breakfast. And then, we were harvesting the tomatoes to make the passata, getting wood, swimming in the dam, going to different events. And it's just because it's so amazing what they do out there in terms of, yeah, this community sufficiency and you're not needing that much stuff. Yeah, it's really inspiring. So I came back and tried to pickle some stuff and, keep trying to upgrade my own sufficiency skills.
I love all these concepts like voluntary simplicity. That's and frugal hedonism, the one coined by Adam Grubb and his then partner, whose name I've forgotten. So, do you see yourself? Are you deliberately frugal? Just necessarily.
I'm very lucky in that my mum's a frugal person, so I feel like I was that gift was handed to me, and so I find it quite easy to, I mean, frugal, stingy, you know, they're kind of two sides of the same coin. But I find it a lot more interesting and exciting, you know, if you don't have access to a lot of money, or you kind of, you know, decide not to use your money for those sorts of things, you can be a lot more creative, you know, like we've this festival that we're doing on Sunday, I think we've pulled it all together with a few $100, and most of that's for the permit. But that's, you know, yesterday we were in someone's backyard, you know, stapling, you know, old fabrics to cardboard and writing signs on them. And then, you know, asking, you know, friends who work in universities to do some printing for us, and, you know, writing a lot by hand and building. Someone went to their neighbors and harvested a bunch of bamboo so we could make sticks to put signs on. And yeah, you know, if we just, you know, had $5,000, maybe we'd just pay, you know, for these new fancy ways to do that. And so money can often make you less creative.
Yeah, and less connected.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much for joining me today and telling us all about the Degrowth Festival.
No, thank you so much for having me, and let's keep the conversation going.
You've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and today we've been speaking with Anisa Rogers, organiser and activist who is part of the Degrowth movement and one of the organisers of the Degrowth Festival. Till next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Get down to the Degrowth Festival, kicking off in half an hour. It's Permaculture Week, 21st to the 29th of March, and you can go to permacultureweek.org to find out all the different events that are on. And you can also find most of those events on the Local Food Connect website, which is localfoodconnect.org.au. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You are what you eat, and you are what you eat, and you're even.
Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio, and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities.
Here we go from dust to dust. Gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.